James Baldwin wrote, "For nothing is fixed forever and forever and forever. It is not fixed. The earth is always shifting. The light is always changing. The sea does not cease to grind down rock. Generations do not cease to be born, and we are responsible to them because we are the only witnesses they have." We light these candles to remind ourselves and our children of our work to create a world that is fair and caring. We strive to make the spaces we inhabit peace sites dedicated to promoting peace. We affirm the sacredness of sexuality and gender diversity. We honor all sexual orientations and gender identities, as well as people who have none, and deeply value each other's authenticity. We continue on our journey towards undoing prejudice, racism, and oppression. Our journey as individuals, as a community, and as participants in the wider world. We understand disability as a culture, lived history, and embodied experience, and a product of de-ableing oppressions in society. We work to enable full access and interdependence in our faith community. We are given this one earth to honor this truth by caring for our buildings and grounds and all places on this earth in ways that respect the interconnected web of all existence, of which we are but a part. In this spirit we gather, looking towards the day when all people are inside the candle's warmth and light.
Welcome to the Unitarian Universalist Church at Washington Crossings Online. I am Reverend Yadani Hailu, the temporary minister of this congregation while Reverend Kim is on parental leave, and whose third son, Otis Robin, was born this Monday, May 3rd. I'm so glad to welcome you. If this is your first time with us this morning, a special welcome to you, because no matter how we gather, we know it's a brave for a community for the first time. I hope you'll recognize in this hour together that we are a congregation striving to create community, to celebrate life, and to change the world for the better. If after this morning's service you'd like to know more, please fill out our visitor's card, and a link is now in the chat. So we can learn a bit about you, you can learn a bit about us. I've personally experienced the warm hospitality of UUCWC, and I hope you will explore this community further. You'll also find a link in the chat to some weekly invitations for connecting and learning. For example, on Tuesday nights at 7 p.m., we offer an informal program called Faith Forward, where members and friends and visitors alike, anyone, can connect by learning about one of our ministries. This week's presentation will be an opportunity to meet with the Right Relations Ministry for a time of Q&A. Just a couple additional notes before we move forward in our time together. One is that if you are in need of closed captioning, it should be showing up on your screen right now. And if not, you can turn it on by looking at the bottom of your screen and clicking the square with the letters CC inside. Click there and the option Show Subtitle. If you do not wish to see closed captioning, go to that same square, CC, and click Hide Subtitle. I want to thank our tech host, Michelle Zechner and John Harvey, who are behind the scenes but making our time today possible. And I want to lift up MJ Hansen and Lori O'Neill, who create the videos and slides we see every week. And to Greg Pontier, this week's worship associate you've already met, and to Lee Schofer, beloved friend and also our musician for the day. Beloveds, may you find in this time a word, a song, silence that feeds something of need within you. Today would not be the same if you hadn't chosen to be here. This month, our theme is story, and I hope we can explore the plot twists of our lives, the dark nights of our hero's journey together, and learn the art of harvesting the medicine of the night and alchemizing our wounds into our wisdom. So for the next 3 weeks, this song by Leah Morris, a UU adjacent singer-songwriter I adore on YouTube, will be our opening hymn. Listen this week. Perhaps try to sing along next, and by the third week, we will all be singing together. Join in watching and singing our opening hymn, Honor the Dark. The words are posted in the chat.
Honor the dark as you do the light. Receive the gifts that come to us by day and by night. I choose to honor the dark, uncertainty and change. Deliver us from fear until only love remains. Honor the dark as you do the light. Receive the gifts that come to us by day and by night. I choose to honor the dark, uncertainty and change. Deliver us from fear until only love remains. Honor the dark as you do the light. Receive the gifts that come to us by day and by night. I choose to honor the dark, uncertainty and change. Deliver us from fear until only love remains. Honor the dark as you do the light. Receive the gifts that come to us by day. Choose to honor the dark, uncertainty and change. Deliver us from fear until only love remains. Honor the dark.
John Borisenko said, "We cannot wish old feelings away, nor do spiritual exercises for overcoming them, until we have woven a healing story that transforms our previous life's experience and gives meaning to whatever pain we have endured." Each week, we light our chalice, a symbol of faith, a beacon of hope, love, and justice. We join in this lighting in solidarity and community with hundreds of other Unitarian Universalists lighting chalices today in homes and in virtual workshop services, reminding us that we are connected to one another and to the larger community of faith and love. If you have a chalice nearby, we invite you to join now and light yours. If you are able, hold it up to the camera and switch to gallery view to see all of the chalices being lit today while we say these words. Let us open our eyes to see what is beautiful. Let us open our minds to learn what is true. Let us open our hearts to love one another. Come, let us worship together.
When I breathe in peace. When I breathe out, I breathe out love. When I breathe in, I breathe in peace. When I breathe out, I breathe out love. When I breathe in, I breathe in peace. When I breathe out, I breathe out love.
Good morning, everybody. It is so good to see you. Happy Mother's Day to everyone who mothers people, who mothers animals, who mothers plants. May you experience some joy today. This morning, I'm going to talk about listening. So here I have an ear. Is something wrong? It's not an ear. The box says it's an ear. My script says it's an ear. It must be an ear. It isn't an ear? Oh, wait, that's not an ear. It's a heart. But what does a heart have to do with listening? When you listen with your heart, you find out how people feel. And part of deep listening is listening with your heart. so you can hear another person truly and fully. It's not easy to listen with an open heart. When I hear a problem from a friend like Susan Ergang, I want to fix it or help her or wonder how the problem started. All this while she is still sharing her problem with me. When we listen with our heart, we just hear the story and the feelings behind it. To be listened to is a way of being loved. And listening deeply is a way of being loving. So I'm going to invite you to pause for a moment and try to remember what that feels like. Let's put our feet on the floor. Take a deep breath in. Feel the earth rising up to meet your feet. Take another breath. And let's try to remember who first offered you the gift of deep listening. Who really heard you for the first time? Where were you? Were you in your house? Were you taking a walk? Were you at the dining room table? Look around where you were. What did you see? What sounds were around you? What did you smell? Can you feel in your body how it feels to be deeply listened to? Let us hold that good feeling for a bit and take a few deep breaths. Thank you. To be listened to is a way of being loved, and listening is a way of being loving. As Unitarian Universalists, we believe that life speaks to us, and sometimes we hear life when we tell a trusted friend something from our heart. Sometimes we hear life speak when we listen deeply to ourselves. So I want to leave you today with a simple song about listening. It's written by Leah Morris, who sung our earlier song. She's an award-winning songwriter, and it is sung by Leah and her two children. Maybe you'll remember the song and sing it to yourself this week. I will post the lyrics in the chat. Thank you.
I'm listening, I am listening, Spirit, speak to me. I'm listening, I am listening, Spirit, speak to me. My hands are wide open, eyes are wide open to see what I may be. I'm listening, I am listening, Spirit, speak to me.
This week, I was meditating on our stories of who we are and how it connects to mothering, listening to my heart. And I gotta say, Mother's Day is complex. Perhaps you were blessed with a mother able to make space for listening to your joys and your sorrows and your ideas, or perhaps not. Perhaps as a mother, you've experienced loss or grief about your children, as well as delight. To mother and be mothered is a transformative experience in the stories of our lives. Also, mothering is not isolated to just the one person with whom we share half of our chromosomes with. Let me share what Sister Deng Nam wrote in her book, Mindfulness as Medicine, about mothering. Sister D, as she is known in the monasteries, wrote, "Some of us have lost our mothers when we were very young or when we were older. Even if you still have your mother with you, you may not be very pleased with her. You may not be able to forgive her for her unskillfulness or for the pain and sadness that she has transmitted to you. Touch this great Mother Earth. Is she any less than our mother? She provides us everything, even our own body, our daily sustenance, the air that we breathe. When you're born of your biological mother, the umbilical cord is cut. But with this great mother, the umbilical cord is never cut. We're still in her atmospheric embrace. Can you touch that intimate connection?" A few pages later, Sister D continues, "I also have many mothers," she writes. "Living in a monastic community, my older and younger monastic brothers and sisters are also my mothers. Their manual labor, their practice, and their loving acceptance provide me a home in which I can rest and heal. This Mother's Day and every day, may we be a community for deep listening, deep loving, deep acceptance, so that we may share the gift of mothering with one another. And now that you can see the chat is open, please share with the community your joys and your sorrows from this week and more." First, gratitude for all who have mothered, who have nurtured and tended the vulnerable life with care, with attention, with affection and reverence. Thanks to all who have offered their hearts in deep listening to one another and offered their love in service of healing. This includes our friends and our elders and our community members of all genders. I'm sure some of you have been mothered by your pets, and I've been mothered by a few trees. Many species can participate in the holy listening of our joys and our sorrows. And for the mothers and children we have lost in our community, and for new life that we welcome, we hold this space. For the celebrations of transitions like graduations, we hold that in this season. For the wonderful women in our lives who have mothered us, and people of all genders who have mothered us. For heartfelt written gifts from our children and our friends. For those who serve and tend to our bodies. For vows that are taken. For those who are new mothers, we hold space for this transformative season in their life. For those who have supported us in the village of making who we are. In the raising of our children. Gratitude for the children we have adopted into our lives, those we have loved, and for transitions, the greatest of which being death and life. For all that was named out loud and shared in the chat and held in our hearts, may they all be held in this community in love and kindness, listening with our hearts. Amen and Ashe. Please join me in singing our hymn of affirmation, Spirit of Life. Continue to remember anything that comes up.
Oh,
was a teen, I needed an altar. I left the conservative religious community due to what I'll call theological snags, but I still long roots in my psyche and my heart for a larger purpose and a meaningfulness to live by. So short of a credo, any ritual guidance, I decided to make an altar. I found a wooden bench at a local Salvation Army. By much maneuvering, I brought it home, my Toyota Corolla, dragged it upstairs to my room. And I thought, wait, as I placed it against the wall of my window. What now? What should an altar have? What do I do at an altar? Well, I didn't have a clear spiritual practice, and I had thrown out all the rituals I was raised in, like prayer, because I wanted to make sure I had a vetted and chosen lineage, but I didn't have one yet. I had just cleared the deck, and I was 17 and idealistic, so I decided to place on my altar my hopes, you know, some inspiration, things I found beautiful. I had incense cones, an Ethiopian trinket, some dried flowers, a couple of books and quotes that I loved. Then, almost every day, I would go. In the mornings, after crawling out of bed, even in the middle of the day, again, sometimes, by daylight, and I would sit in front of it and wait. Y'all, I was truly not sure what exactly it was I was expecting, only that I wanted to formally register my desire with the universe, with myself, with maybe my ancestors or anything benevolent, for help. My desire for clarity, my desire for some skills to manage my life, especially my emotions. It was an open letter letting anyone who could pick up my broadcasting signal know your girl wanted to be better and happy. Around this time, I luckily began to study Buddhist psychology and was able to theologically back this intense work before me. I realized I was on a quest to return to wholeness, to realize my true nature. And for the endeavor, I needed to identify the obstacles that were wedging me so far from rest and ease. The practice required me to identify, digest, untangle, rewire a traumatized nervous system, a traumatized body, a traumatized mind. I needed to get really good at listening. So I got into silent seated meditation. It was my solace, my shelter from powerlessness. It was my break from fear and shame that sat so heavy on my chest most of the day. I found a place where I could rest within myself. I would hide away and rest in the cave of my heart, and I made it my new home. But this is not my full testimony. So up to this point, I was surviving. But the real transformation was when I began listening to heal. Thich Nhat Hanh once taught this classic story of the Buddha, Mara, and Ananda that I think of often still. For this story, consider Buddha the personification, the embodiment itself of enlightenment. And Mara is illusion personified. And Ananda, he's like our nervous system, trying to protect our identity from our shadow self. So in the story, Ananda is guarding the entryway of a cave where the Buddha is meditating, and Mara, illusion itself, comes up and asks to see Buddha. Mara was like, no, absolutely not. I'm not going to disturb the Buddha for you. You're a mess, Mara. I mean, and also the Buddha is really busy being the Buddha. Mara was witty and knew that the Buddha welcomed all who sought them. So with their cunning, they insisted and used riddles and demanded to see the Buddha, certainly stating that they must let them in. Ananda felt really outsmarted and was reluctant, but they let Mara in to visit the Buddha, who, upon recognizing the guest, asked Ananda to make them tea. Ananda was in an emotional roller coaster, already distraught to have Mara in the Buddha's innermost space, but now to be allowed to serve the Buddha by making tea? What a joy! But making tea for Mara, less sweet. However, Ananda's devotion won out, and upon giving the Buddha the tea that was freshly prepared, the Buddha turned to serve Mara first, then sat close and asked, "My dear friend, what is on your heart?" And listened deeply. Mic drop, y'all. This story is radical in so many ways, and it really blew my mind when I first heard it. I was busy in my self-care, my spiritual practice, my silent seated meditation ways. I was escaping to the cave in my heart that I thought was in great Buddha form. But this story revealed that our practices are meant to fuel something, fuel a revolution, our capacity to listen. Our practices are meant to be fueling the ability to listen, to be with the greatest illusions which haunt us, and to be compassionate and make space for them to unpack and heal. Mara, this monster of fear and anxiety, terror that was within me, my own depression, my own suffocating anxiety, was a full-time job to try and keep out. But when I listened to it, when I found out it wasn't pure evil, it wasn't pure hate, when I offered that messiness in me tea and sat with it and asked it, my dear, what is on your heart? I found the voice in my head I was villainizing was a very hurt 5-year-old Yadani. There's also a fevered and raging 13-year-old Yadani in there too, and there's other inner child forms seeking comfort, seeking understanding, seeking protection. As I continued the practice of deep listening in my meditations, these now welcomed guests revealed unmet needs, demands for wholeness, and more. Their delivery wasn't great, but their messages had seeds of truth. And I learned to say to my brain, to my fears, it isn't all bad and it isn't all true. And to listen to my body and trust its pace of healing, because if it's not all bad, there might be some good. And if it isn't all true, there might still be truth in the reflection of it. That was a paradigm shift. This was the plot twist of my late teens and my early 20s that took me off the path of survival and onto the path of flourishing. I have a belief that helps me dearly in getting into that sweet spot of being willing to witness and courageous enough to hold space for the vulnerability necessary to heal. And it is this, I offer it to you, that hurt's one agenda is to heal. In fact, hurt demands to heal. And the first step to healing is acknowledgement. Hurt's demand for acknowledgement is a request to heal. I also extend that pain is a request for attention to heal. So not just to numb the symptoms, but to inquire deeply the source and heal at the roots. Iyama Van Zandt writes and defines pain as an acronym for pay attention inwardly now, pain. What if we let stress in a system or anxiety in our relationships or frustration in our life be greeted as a tired messenger to be welcomed and cared for with hospitality instead of an assassin to be defended and avoided? What if we don't villainize the mess of unwholeness and instead listened curiously, deeply? Not to the crappy ideas it spews, but the problems it's trying to solve. We may find even that the most cruel voices in our heads are, albeit roughly, but they are attempting to heal, attempting to prevent the pain of not belonging or of being neglected or being powerless, attempting to anticipate the loss of love and hope by mitigating their start, attempting to preserve purity or an identity. All of these less than eloquent survival ideas are now an invitation to listen and look deeply. I invite y'all to engage yourselves regularly in deep listening, because if you don't, it hinders all of your relationships. It blocks your justice and organizing efforts. This inner cave of deep listening is a vital foundation for liberation for all. Come at yourself with a courageous heart, with empathy, with tea, with deep listening. You can meditate or journal, make voice memos on your phone, let a therapist model it for you, practice as a small group, sit quietly in the mornings or the evenings or the afternoons, listen and learn what's going on within you. what desires to be understood. You are trying to heal. So do not leave your heart for later. Don't place your inner life on a back shelf. This is a vital, proactive liberation imperative. Fuel the revolution with deep listening and responsibility for your healing. This is your story. This is your life. May it be so.
This next piece tells a short story. It's composed by Ernesto Lecuona, and it's called La Comparsa, which is a carnival procession. The story is this. Ernesto Lecuona was a composer and fabulous pianist in Cuba in the early 1900s. And the story is, you're standing on a corner, street corner in Havana on the day before Lent, Carnival. And off in the distance, you hear drums. You hear the tambour. And then you hear a band approaching. And as it approaches, it gets louder and louder until it's right next to you, and it's a huge crescendo. And then as it passes by, it gets quieter and quieter until again, all you hear is. La Comparsa by Ernesto Cuevas de Corona.
Unitarian Universalist Paul Beadle said, "Once upon a time, like many good stories start. Most folks use the offering plate to fulfill their pledges of financial support. Nowadays, lots of folks click on their church websites or set up automatic transfers from their checking accounts. Some still write a monthly check, paying their church bill along with all the others. But passing the offering plate was never just a practical exercise. It has always been a ritual. Even if your pledge is paid up, it's worthwhile for you to bring even just a dollar to drop into the plate as a ritual reminder of that form of love we call generosity. Let it be a reminder that after meeting our obligations to ourselves and our households and the communities to which we belong and are committed, we must still keep our capacity to give. The practice of giving, until it is second nature and first response, helps bring forth the realm of love. 50% of the plate is designated for social justice causes and projects. Today's social justice portion of the plate will support Disability Rights New Jersey. DRNJ is an organization located in Trenton that serves as an advocate for those who are differently abled. Their focus is to protect, advance, and advocate for the rights of those individuals with physical, mental, and developmental disabilities. You may use PayPal. You may set up e-banking. You may send a check through the mail directly to the church. Or you may go onto the UUCWC website. Kindly remember to identify what your pledge is for if you're using PayPal or sending a check directly to the church. And now, ta-ta-ta-ta, an auction update from Barbara Drew, Connie Schofer, Lori O'Neill, Linda Shapiro, Lynn Quinto, and Marsha Whitman. Auction fundraiser, together wherever you are, had something for everyone. Yesterday, the auction bidding ended, and the dust is still settling. Thank you all for the participants in this year's fun and fundraising auction. Due to the many generous donors, bidders, and buyers, we are pleased to announce that the net proceeds met and exceeded our targeted budget amount, with the online auction having raised approximately $35,000. Woohoo! And congratulations.
Beautiful. Thank you, everyone, for coming to my first service here at UUCWC, and I hope to see you next week. Until then, I am wishing you peace. I'm wishing you health. May you find and remember that you are beloved, and go out and be love to yourself and the world. This is the day we are given. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Please join Steve and Carol in singing our closing hymn, Building Bridges. The words will be placed in the chat.
Building bridges between our divisions. Reach out to you, will you reach out to me? With all of our voices and all our divisions, friends, we could make such sweet harmony. Building bridges between our divisions, I reach out to you, will you reach out to me? With all of our voices and all of our visions, friends, we could make such sweet harmony.
Friends, we could make such sweet harmony.
So, please, if you have a chalice that you lit at home, let's lift them together and say the words found in the chat. We extinguish this chalice, but not the light of truth, the warmth of community, or the fire of commitment. These remain kindled until we meet again.